Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to another week, another edition of the Better Baseball Podcast, WinDailySports.com. My name is John Jansen, getting you through today's slate. Not an overly large slate for today, and we're going to get right into it. We won't go over things over the weekend, although Aaron Nola and the Phillies did get the win yesterday, which is great. And as you can see, we're going to go back to that game today, but I need to start right away because we have a game actually coming up, and it's not many times I'm able to do this. Basically, I'm leading you up to the first game of the slate, and that is the Boston Red Sox against the Chicago White Sox. Patriots Day, obviously a big day for Boston and the Red Sox. And this line has been kind of all over the place here, as we could see. If we can get the DraftKings Sportsbook app to work here a little bit. But what I do like here, I do like the Red Sox. That line has moved. It was plus money, and it moved all the way to, I think, minus 103 is the last thing I saw here before everything kind of crashed down a bit. But I saw minus 103 as of late, and that's where it stands right now. That is really low. Or at least it's shifted a lot compared to what I saw this morning. This morning was plus 105. I've seen plus 108. There's been a lot of line movement, and I'm going to actually follow that, to be honest with you. I don't know whether or not the public money is backing the Red Sox. I imagine it would be backing Lucas Giolito because he has been one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. He has been outstanding so far this season. But I actually like the Red Sox in this matchup. First of all, Nathan Eovaldi has been great. So I want to give him a little bit of value. I want to give Nathan Eovaldi a shot here to really prove that he has been great and prove that he can be a very good pitcher for the Red Sox. And I'm going to take it at minus 103. It's in Boston. Obviously a big day for them in Boston today. Giolito's obviously going to get his work done, and he's going to do very well, I imagine. I looked at the player props. There is no way I am taking anything here. Eovaldi hasn't really hit that 5.5 number too often. Lucas Giolito, 7.5, but it is juiced all the way up. So it's really a non-play for me there. Where I'm going to go, though, I'll just stick with the money line, to be honest with you. I'll take the Red Sox. I'll take my chances with them at home. They are 10-4 this season. The White Sox have not been consistent whatsoever. They have not been able to break over 500, and I think this is their fourth time going for it this season. It's been a rough kind of start for them. Yoan Moncada's out of the lineup, although they are putting in lefty Jake Lem. So the lefty on Eovaldi, obviously playing a little bit of the matchup there as well. I just don't see it here for the White Sox, or at least I liked it better with the Red Sox, given that it was plus money, now minus 103. I'm hesitating a little bit on it, and I have to be honest, I don't like that it's moved that much. But also, when we see line movement like that, I kind of like to follow it in baseball, and I think I'm going to follow it here and follow it with the Red Sox. It would have been better if you went on last night and was able to get it, or you went on this morning and you were able to get it earlier, plus 105, plus 108. But minus 103, that has been just a bunch of line movement that, you know, still I'm on the Red Sox, but the value there is a little bit lost. It's probably right where it should be now between the Red Sox and White Sox. Next game I'm going to go to, and look, I get it. I'm the Phillies guy around here, not the Mets guy on WinDailySports.com. WinDailySports.com/chat is where you can chat with them, not only about the Mets, but also any bets you need to make. NBA DFS, Major League Baseball DFS as well. There are already articles up, MLB DFS picks and pivots, telling you starting pitchers that you should go for today, but also a few stacks. And this is a game that I know Brian is looking to stack and even have a mini stack. So stacking the Giants and then mini stacking the Phillies, because there are a couple of plays, a couple of really strong left-handed bats that should do well against Kevin Gausman. Look, I hesitate with a stack in this game, just because I think Gausman and Anderson have both been pretty good. But it's the fact that these lineups have just been awful. And, you know, even the Phillies, they hit much better at home. I think they're hitting at a clip of around 200 on the road, plus 263 at home. Their splits at home are obviously much, much better. So that has something to do with this. But you just look at the home record. I'm getting even money in a matchup and against the team. Look, you can look at Kevin Gausman and tell me that, you know, he's doing well, and that's great. That's it's good. And Kevin Gausman is somebody that you should be maybe in DFS absolutely looking at. I think Brian's right. But to win this game, that's where I tend to just hold back a little bit here, because I just am not sure if the Giants are that good and good enough to win a game on the road and to really tag Chase Anderson for that many runs. I'm going to play, and I've been doing it all along, and if you did it in the Cardinals series, and the Phillies won 2 out of 3 in that one, and I think they start off with a win here, I don't care if it's Chase Anderson. If this was Matt Moore, then obviously that's the one glaring hole, the one starting pitcher that if he's on the mound for the Phillies, which I imagine he won't be anymore. Matt Moore will not be a starting pitcher, I don't think, again, for the Phillies this season. We'll see. Maybe a spot starter too, but I can't imagine that he goes out there for another spot in the rotation. But Chase Anderson has not been as bad. Chase Anderson's actually been solid. For a guy who's fifth in their rotation, the back end, he's actually been doing pretty well. And I don't think this is a spot where you fade the Phillies and fade that, you know, home record just because it's Chase Anderson on the mound. I don't think he is that much of a disadvantage for the Phillies, especially against this lineup. There are some key pieces in this lineup for the Phillies that can get after Gausman. I know Gene Segura has very good numbers against Gausman, and the Phillies in general have hit Gausman pretty well throughout his career. But Bryce Harper, Didi Gregorius, left-handed bats with power that should do a pretty good job against Kevin Gausman, and I think that they're going to do enough to win this one. Phillies are 7-2 at home. So basically, that means, again, they're 7-2 straight up at home. I think I'm going to take a chance on that, especially at even money. If this was Aaron Nola, Eflin, Wheeler, obviously this money line probably balloons up to minus 140, something around there. This is even money. I don't care about the pitching matchup. Kevin Gausman isn't that good to where I, you know, he's on the mound and I automatically have to fade the Phillies. No. I'm taking the home road splits. I think the Phillies are the better team. They've been hitting better at home. The Giants have not been hitting well at all this season. So I'll take the Phillies plus 100 even money. I think that's actually a pretty good play for today. And today, it's not a large slate. A couple of okay matchups. I think, honestly, the best two are right here at the top for me. With the Red Sox, you lose a little bit of the value, but I like still minus 103, right around even money, I think is fine. And then even money plus 100 for the Phillies, I think is a great play. It might be, honestly, my favorite play on the board, and I get it. I know, again, I'm a Phillies fan, but I think it might be my favorite play on the board at plus 100. I tried to look at, and right now we don't have any strikeout props, so we need to wait for those. Danny Duffy is somebody you might want to look at for strikeout props. And also Dylan Bundy, especially strikeout props against the Rangers. So those are two strikeout props to look at, but obviously we don't have those yet. I'll go to another game here where I feel like I'm getting some value. Brandon Woodruff's good, and he doesn't have any win yet so far this season. You know, let's go with it. I think Brandon Woodruff, mark me down here, Brandon Woodruff gets his first win of the season. Now, the Brewers are 2-1 in his start, so they've won two games. The last one that he came out for was against the Cubs. They ended up losing, but Woodruff's a very good pitcher, and I think he gets a little bit out of the spotlight because of what Corbin Burnes is doing. Corbin Burnes, obviously, he's a Cy Young candidate, probably a Cy Young front runner in the National League at this point, also with Jacob deGrom, too, but He gets a little overshadowed by his fellow pitcher there in the rotation in Corbin Burnes, but Brandon Woodruff has been great. Obviously, we know Joe Musgrove. He has been spectacular this season, but he doesn't go very deep into games. The only game he did was that no-hitter, but you know, he barely goes over 80 pitches. I think 77. He had a one game, 81 in another. So it was really only that no hitter and where Joe Musgrove was able to go over 100 pitches and go deep into a game. He doesn't really do that. And I don't know how deep he goes here. I can't trust the Padres. Now, obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr. is back, which obviously helps out for the Padres. But I don't know if I can trust them in this spot, especially at a price of minus 148. You know, I want to give Brandon Woodruff a little credit here. I want to give Brandon Woodruff actually, you know, a chance to do this. Now, if you're scared of the Brewers, I understand it because the Brewers don't have Christian Yelich. And this is the one, if they had Yelich in here against Musgrove, that's a left-handed bat that should be able to put up some runs and help out against a pitcher like Joe Musgrove. But obviously, Christian Yelich is not in the lineup. That hurts. Joe Musgrove is definitely a candidate for strikeout props here as well. I can't trust the Brewers offense, but I'm going to play the price. I think the Padres are way overpriced here. I don't think Brandon Woodruff is getting enough credit. Joe Musgrove is being basically priced here as the premium pitcher when I don't think he is. And oh, look at this. Look at this. A little surprise guest. Is this Brian? Is this Brian on the podcast here? How you doing, man?
What's up, brother? Well, you always ask if somebody wants to jump on. I had a couple minutes and I'm like, you know what? I'm coming in.
Let's do it. And you know what? I love it because I use your article as the way it's meant to be done. MLB DFS picks and pivots as kind of, you know, it's an all-encompassing guide context for me to help out with the slate. And so I'll ask you right away with this one, because I know you talked about Joe Musgrove a little bit. Is this one where Joe Musgrove can be fine, but I feel like the Padres are way overpriced at minus 148.
So just in general, every pitcher on this slate, I think, has a path to a ceiling. I also think they have a path to a floor. I don't think that any of these guys is like this rock solid lock tonight. I just don't see it, because every argument that I could make for them, I could make a counter for the argument against them. And so, you know, when I'm looking at all of these guys, like Musgrove, to me, the one thing that scared me, the metrics look great. What really makes me nervous is the pitch count. Other than his no-hitter where he threw 112 pitches, he only threw 80 and I think it was like 80 and 85 pitches, something like that. I can't remember the exact numbers, but he's not pitching deep. So now, you know, are you really looking to go that deep with these guys? Because you're kind of paying market price for a little bit of an unknown.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think Brandon Woodruff, maybe, do you think he's getting overshadowed a little bit by the Corbin Burns, you know, hype? Because Corbin Burns is the one everybody's talking about, but Woodruff's been great. He doesn't have the win yet, but that's mainly because the Brewers are bad, but the Brewers are 2-1 in his starts. So I think obviously the win-loss record isn't really telling here. You may need to look at the fact that they're 2-1 in his starts, which if that's the case, I think the Brewers are actually a bit of a value here, plus 125.
Yeah, and I think what'll scare people off from Woodruff is just the Padres, now that they're healthy, that lineup's just incredibly good. It's just not one that people are going to want to attack. So my guess is, and I took a first look at ownership this morning, is that he is overlooked, and rightfully so. So he's going to be somebody that people just aren't going to go. It's probably going to make the Padres in general an offense, and people aren't going to go out of their way to target. They're not going to go Woodruff against them. It's going to be like, this game feels like Musgrove or nothing, you know, how people look at it.
WinDailySports.com. Hey, check out MLB DFS picks and pivots from my guy, Brian. So, all right, help us out with the slate here a little bit. What's something that stood out to you? You see my three plays here. I have the Red Sox on the money line, even though that's moved a lot and I'm losing a little bit of value. But I like Eovaldi against the White Sox lineup. They've actually been doing pretty well against right-handed pitching, but I think Eovaldi does a great job there. I'm going with the Phillies at home. I'm going with the 7-2 record at plus 100, even money. I find that to be a little bit of value, even though Kevin Gausman is on the mound against Chase Anderson. But where else should I be looking other than those three games?
It's funny because I will tell you that I feel the – I don't know. So I'll take the money line component out of it as a Mets fan, as you can clearly see behind me. So I'm going to preface that with saying that I'm never going to like the Phillies.
That's fine. Fair.
But what's interesting, this game to me, I think what actually stood out as you had it up on the screen was the over-under, the 180, you know, of the 8.5. I think this game could be an absolute just slugfest, because – I think what you're seeing is, you know, when you look at the two teams, What really stood out to me, it was funny. I started the day looking at Gausman. I liked that, you know, him as a play. But then I flipped it to the other side and started looking at the Giants bats against Chase Anderson. And what was really interesting is Anderson's splits are so drastically bad against left-handed batters. The top of this Giants lineup is just going to go lefty, 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 lefty. It's going to be Listella, Yastrzemski, Dickerson, Belt. Every single one of them hammers lefty pitching. And when you dig even deeper, they hammer his pitch types really well. So this could be a spot where, you know, I talk about this a lot in DFS with like the game stacking component. You know, the Phillies bullpen is good. So I don't, you know, you're kind of taking the approach of you're going to have to attack Chase Anderson early and hope you get the bad bullpen arms. Because if this game drags out and it's like a 3-4 kind of game, like you're going to get the good arms.
If Vince Velasquez has to come in the fourth inning, then
that's the guy you want. You want Chase Anderson to give up like 6 runs in the first inning. And then all of a sudden they go, all right, well, we're on to tomorrow, you know, double V, you know, come give us 3 innings of mop-up duty. And that's where you, you make a lot of money. But that, this is an interesting, like Gausman on the other side of it. What's interesting with him is his struggles are all lefty, right? The Phillies aren't a left-handed hitting lineup, right? It's Harper and it'll be Didi. And that's basically it. So he actually, Adam and I were, you know, Strangis and I were talking about this morning a little bit. Gausman's in play to be used, but I could also see, listen, he gets in trouble. He makes 1 or 2 mistakes. It's good, you know, and you put Harper or Didi up in the right spot. You know, it's decent weather now here in the Northeast too. So you're starting to get a little bit warmer.
I had my windows open already this morning. It was beautiful. It's fantastic.
It's a nice day. The wind's supposed to, I think I was looking at, you know, it's a couple mile per hour blowing out in Citizens Bank Park. It's not a spot you typically are going to want to a pitcher who struggles against lefties in that stadium.
All right. So going to some of the other games, what games am I overlooking? Is there any game here that I should be paying attention to? I know because I see Flaherty on and, you know, maybe I should be taking the Cardinals, but I'm worried about them on the road against the Nationals. You know, Danny Duffy, Josh Fleming, that's an interesting matchup. Dylan Bundy. And I know you actually had a really good breakdown about Dylan Bundy. Let's go actually on that one. And that'll be one of the last things we do here because you had a great breakdown of Dylan Bundy, because I think on the surface, Dylan Bundy's striking out guys. And the Rangers strike out a lot. But why is that maybe not the case in this game?
Well, so I think it's 2 things. I think the Rangers strike out a lot, and they strike out against right-handed pitching a lot. By the way, that was all in entirely almost one game against Joe Musgrove, is skewing that statistic drastically.
I think all remember that game.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, a no-hitter tends to do that. But, you know, the other part, too, is if you look at Bundy's splits, he's always been a guy who has been more reverse splits. So he dominates right-handed hitters. He gets high K rates against right-handed hitters. Texas, while they do strike out a lot, they're going to throw a lot of lefties. So the splits don't necessarily work in his favor here. So it's an interesting one where his matchup on paper isn't as good as maybe you look at the Rangers, you see high K rate, you think that's the guy I got to go with.
Yeah. Is there any chance here because of that? Not saying that Dylan Bundy gets rocked, but any chance that it gives the Rangers a shot in this game to where maybe a money line plus 180 seems a little bit tempting? Or is the pitching matchup still just, you know, even though the splits, like you just said, are like that, it's still a little bit too much and can't really.
No, because I actually like it's tough. I don't think we know enough about Arihara on the other side of this game to know whether he's actually good or bad, because his splits so far actually tell you his numbers haven't been bad. He's not giving up a ton of hard contact. He doesn't strike anybody out, but he's not giving up a ton of hard contact. So, you know, if that's happening and he's not giving up a lot of power, he's got a high ground ball rate, that could be another one where it's like, this could end up just breaking the right way where he limits the damage. The Angels don't, I mean, let's be honest. You look at that Angels lineup, and outside of Trout sitting in the middle, who are you really that afraid of?
Right? You just have to get past Trout, Rendon, and Ohtani, and once you get past
out,
those guys,
right?
Yeah, Rendon's out.
And so now it's like, okay, I've got Rojas and Pujols and Iglesias and Suzuki. That's not a strong bottom of a lineup. So, you know, if he can limit the damage, and listen, Texas has power. So, I like that one. That and I also, I got to say, I actually like the Mariners too, just in the sense of, I think that would be a little bit of a crazy one. Cause I don't think Justus Sheffield is as bad as people are going to make him out to be today.
So you're just finding a little bit of value in that.
Absolutely.
In Justus Sheffield. Well, how about this? If I can look at, maybe if I can hit the right game instead of the wrong one, I think there's a lot of movement. Oh yeah. The White Sox and Red Sox. Hey, how about that? The Major League Baseball slate has already started as we're doing the podcast.
Baseball should always start at 11 a.m.
I wish that would be amazing. It's a little bit juiced up, which I was hoping wouldn't be. Is there a chance we see an under 4.5 in the first five? Give Justus Sheffield a little bit of credit. He goes through five because obviously the variables of once you get into the bullpen with the Mariners in full game, I don't like. But Dustin May, Justus Sheffield, if you think, and I agree with you, that Justus Sheffield could shut them down, yep, maybe we get a first five under 4.5. And
yep,
I think those two kind of cruise.
I like that because that's a very real path to that happening because I don't love the Seattle bats against May, but then – you know, I like the. I think Sheffield can honestly make his way through this with limiting damage.
I love this. All right, I got to take off all the left-handed batters I highlighted for home runs. This is what we have. This is actually really great. Now, we have the Red Sox on the money line -103, Brewers +125, the Phillies even money. I have on the money line over 8.5. That's a nice little Brian special he's giving us there. Which that's the thing with the Phillies betting him even money. I'm taking a chance on the home road splits, knowing full well though that they could get blown out, or you're right. Six runs could be scored in the first inning. So I'm still going to take my chances with the home road splits and just hope that Chase Anderson doesn't get blown up as much. But the one game I want to take a chance on, because you just sold me there, and I think you're absolutely right. I think the Rangers at +180, that is a little bit too much for me. And I think the Bundy splits against left-handed hitting, not that he's going to get destroyed or he's going to be run out of there early, but there's potential for the Rangers to put up a few runs while the Angels, I think, can be limited a bit. So +180 on the Rangers and then a first five under 4.5 for the Dodgers and Mariners. Man, that's how it's done, Brian. You did that in like 4 or 5 minutes. Oh. And that's what we got. We got a bunch of games, a bunch of bets now. Brian, thanks for joining me again. MLB DFS picks and pivots that they can check out. Follow you at @2LockSports. That is Brian. My name is John Jansen. This is the Better Baseball Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. as well. And I got another guest for you that's going to be really great. But Brian, it was great to talking with him. WinDailySports.com. Check out MLB DFS picks and pivots. We'll be back tomorrow on the Better Baseball Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.